This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Today is Veterans Day, and it, like so much else, seems to take on special significance this year in the midst of our global pandemic and now a rocky presidential transition. Here is a bit of Governor Charlie Baker speaking as part of the state's virtual Veterans Day ceremony earlier today.
I think in some respects, the most important thing I can say about Veterans Day is it gives us all a chance to reflect for a minute on what our freedoms, our democracy mean to us. We would not be Americans. We would not have the kinds of rights and liberties and opportunities that we have in this country of ours if it weren't for the men and women in uniform, past, present, and future.
Congressman Seth Moulton of the 6th District is with us to help commemorate the day and reflect on what's different. This year, the congressman served four tours in Iraq as a U.S. Marine, and last week won re-election to his seat. Congressman, congratulations on the election win, and welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's great to be here.
I know you hold an annual Veterans Day town hall. I understand it'll be virtual this year, like so many other things are. Who will participate, Congressman, and what do you expect to hear from them tonight?
Well, we have an amazing lineup of veterans who are each going to share a short story of their service and how it's impacted them here at home, a little bit about what they did overseas and maybe how it's changed their lives ever since. But the real goal is to bridge the divide between veterans and everybody else. So what we're hoping is a lot of non-veterans will tune in to listen and learn a little bit about veterans and their service.
How do you characterize that divide? What is the divide between veterans and everyone else?
Well, you know, it's been different at different times in our history. Obviously, many were alive during Vietnam when it was a bitter divide, and veterans weren't appreciated for their service, even though many volunteered just to go, so no one had to go in their place. We have unpopular wars these days as well, but I can certainly speak for myself. I've always felt appreciated for my service, but not always understood. And I meet a lot of people who say, I love veterans, I want to help, but I don't even know where to start because I just don't get what being a veteran is all about, and I don't know what I can do to help veterans when they get back home. So the idea of this town hall is to help connect veterans and non-veterans, veterans with the communities that they fought to protect and serve. The idea was really popularized by Sebastian Younger, the author of Perfect Storm,
right,
and Tribe, War, who did the first Veterans Town Hall with me in Marblehead a few years ago. But now it's expanded nationwide, and it's become a very popular event that we hope will turn into a national tradition.
Let's stick with this idea, excuse me, that you brought up a moment ago of understanding. The pandemic, we know that it's affected different populations in really profoundly different ways. What about veterans? You know, the tragic deaths at the Holyoke Soldiers Home come to mind for me immediately. But what should we understand about the pandemic and how it has affected veterans?
Well, first of all, I think veterans deserve the best healthcare in the world. And yet, as we saw, as came to light with the disaster in Holyoke, they're clearly not getting it. Now, many of us have known for a while that the VA has some problems. In fact, I made a commitment to continue getting my own health care at the VA after I was elected, just because I said, look, as long as my fellow veterans are going there, then I'm going to go there too and see it firsthand as a member of Congress. And we know that VA care across the country is spotty, and we have work to do. I mean, frankly, health care for a lot of Americans is spotty, and all of that's been highlighted by this pandemic. Those who have the fewest resources often get the worst health care. And that's not right when health care should simply be a human right that all of us enjoy. So I'd say that's the first thing about the pandemic, is it's really, really highlighted the disparities in care. Why shouldn't veterans get the best health care in the world? Look at what they've done for us, right? The second thing I'd say is that, you know, a lot of veterans come back with invisible wounds of war, post-traumatic stress, as I've admitted publicly, I've had to deal with in the past. And mental health issues have been truly exacerbated by this pandemic, not just for veterans, but for all Americans. And that's a place where we do need to do a lot more work. I was very proud to pass a bill to recently designate a three-digit national mental health hotline so that in the near future, everyone will know exactly what number to call if they need to talk to someone. This will save a lot of lives for veterans and non-veterans alike. But the fact that it's taken so long to get a bill like that passed, to get a simple resource like that widely available to all Americans, just shows how much we need to do to improve access to mental health care in particular. And once we do that, it will make a big difference in many veterans' lives.
Let's talk about the day itself for a minute. I mentioned at the top, you are a former Marine who served four tours in Iraq. What does Veterans Day mean to you personally?
As a proud Marine, I have to jump in and say I'm a Marine veteran. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So we try not to say former Marine. But
fair enough.
Look,
that's good to know.
Veterans Day is powerful every single year. It's a time when we veterans really try to reconnect with fellow veterans, some that we served with and know very well, but may live in different parts of the country or the world and be out of touch with, or sometimes just veterans in our communities that maybe we didn't serve with, maybe they're from a different generation or a different war. But every single year on Veterans Day, it's a time to come together and recognize the bond that we have in having worn the uniform of our country. And of course, we're not going to get to do that this year. It's just not simply is not the same meeting up online or in a Facebook group as it is being able to share a drink or break some bread in person. So a lot of veterans are going to feel lonely this year. And that's what I'm worried about in particular. Many veterans are lonely to begin with because perhaps they're in a place like the Holyoke Soldiers Home. Perhaps they don't have family or they don't have a fellow veteran to connect with when they're thinking about their time in the service. And so this year is going to be especially hard. And that's why we're trying to let everyone know that this town hall tonight at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., you can find the link on my at Rep Seth Moulton Facebook page, at Rep Moulton Facebook page. It'll be an opportunity to just listen and connect with some fellow veterans and recognize that if you're someone who's out there feeling lonely and doesn't have anyone to talk to about your service today, well, there are other people out there too.
And we will try to link to that on our webpage at radioboston.org as well. You're a sitting congressman. I do want to talk about the election, which happened, last week, but we still have, we have a president who is refusing to accept the results and has not conceded. And I want to play some sound yesterday from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo for you.
There will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration. All right. We're ready. The world is watching what's taking place here. We're going to count all the votes. When the process is complete, there'll be electors selected. There's a process. The Constitution lays it out pretty clearly. The world should have every confidence that the transition necessary to make sure that the State Department is functional today, and successful with the president who's in office on January 20th, a minute after noon, will also be successful.
Now, I want to note there are some who have said that that was a tongue-in-cheek reference to a second Trump administration, but words have impact, and you ran for the office of president with an eye towards national security. What is your reaction to that and to the administration's position over the last several days?
I think it's despicable and it's dangerous. It's dangerous because it's a terrible precedent to set for the rest of the world. And let's not forget, there are young men and women risking their lives out there today, all around the globe, fighting fundamentally for our democratic values and trying to extend those values to other people in the world who lack the freedoms that we enjoy in America. And the Secretary of State just made their job a lot harder, undermined our American credibility, undermined the fundamental values that have always made our nation an example of democratic freedoms to the world. That's why it's dangerous. That's why this is dangerous. It's not a time for tongue-in-cheek moments, whether that was what it is or it wasn't, from the Secretary of State. And it's also important to point out that this is unprecedented. We live in a country that was torn apart by a civil war. And even during the Civil War, we did not have a problem with a peaceful transition of power. Look, you can like some of the things that Trump stands for or not. I certainly don't. But when he just cuts to the heart of what makes us Americans, there's nothing more unpatriotic than that. And it is truly dangerous for our country. It's dangerous for our national security. And I hope some people in the administration today will recognize that it's dangerous for our troops.
Very few of your Republican colleagues in Congress have encouraged the president to accept the results, have congratulated President-elect Joe Biden. What is your message to them?
Find some political courage and find some patriotism. Do the right thing for your country, not for your partisan politics. That's what we all need to do. And it's important to point out that there are some staunch Republicans who have done the right thing, like former President George W. Bush. Now, I served 4 tours under him in Iraq. I didn't vote for him twice. I was highly critical of the war he started. But I never questioned his fundamental patriotism, his fundamental commitment to the troops. This is very different, Tiziana. This is very different with Trump. We've never had a commander-in-chief who thinks that those of us who put on the uniform are suckers, and those who die because they put on the uniform are losers. You know, once again, you can like Trump and his tweets or not, but just understand that that's who the commander-in-chief is. That's who's supposed to be leading our troops. And no matter what your politics, we want a commander-in-chief who represents our values.
In our last 30 seconds or so, I really can hear the urgency in your voice. What are your next steps as a congressman over the next several days?
I'm trying to reach out to my Republican colleagues and encourage them to do the right thing. And I recognize that Trump has made the politics of this difficult for them. But this is so much bigger than politics. And hopefully they'll take a moment on this Veterans Day to recognize that there's much more at stake here than pure politics. We've got to do the right thing for our country, just as so many veterans throughout our history have been willing to do for us.
That's Congressman Seth Moulton, who served 4 tours as a U.S. Marine in Iraq and now represents Massachusetts' 6th District. Congressman, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
And listeners, we will post a link to the Congressman's 7 p.m. Veteran Town Hall tonight on our website at radioboston.org.